Steve, thanks very, very much. It's Bill Effen, it's Wendy Snyder, along with Dane Neal. You know Dane, he's the host of the Dane Neal Show on WGN Plus. Has a great website, accessappetite.com. Dane, nice to see you. How are you? Everything good?
Oh, it would help if I turned your mic on. Go
good ahead. To see you guys again.
Thank you very much. You have brought somebody with you.
Well, not alone. You know, rarely do I come without extra things with
sure.
me, you know, bearing gifts.
He comes
and all
bearing
that.
People.
Yep.
Bearing people, and also those people have to have, you know, goodies attached to them typically. And yesterday, because I know Wendy was upset, she was almost inconsolable when we first came in the studio, saying that she had missed National Grilled Cheese Day.
Yesterday was National Grilled Cheese Day. As Wendy will tell you, I took half of the day off.
In honor of National Grilled Cheese Day.
Well, it's one of those things where, whether it's at penitentiaries or at the bus stop.
School
or whatever,
cafeteria.
There's all those kind of, it's the blue flu, right?
Yeah.
Where people are just calling in for the cheese.
The penitentiary. Can you call in blue flu?
That's where it's an issue. You know,
I can't come into jail today. I have, it's National Grilled
if
Cheese
Day. If
kids
call in sick to, like, kidney shoes, it's not a big deal. But
right.
when there's no one to guard the imprisoned.
Sure.
Yeah,
it's a problem.
But, if, you know, one of the things that if people get out of, I don't know why we're doing this, out of prison, right, the first thing they're going to go for is cheese and a grilled cheese. We've got Ken Miller. He's in here. He's one of the co-founders of Pastoral Artisan Cheese. You know him over at the Chicago French Market, all the great stuff that they do and the other restaurants they have. And so he's going to give us a window, an insight into the mysterious but always delicious world of cheese.
Right. Hi, Ken.
Hi
there.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me.
You would imagine that this is the easiest thing in the world to make, grilled cheese, but some people just have a knack for it and can pull it off way better than others.
I think so. I think we all grew up loving it, that little treat that mom would make us with those plastic wrap singles, a slice of Wonder Bread.
Didn't they melt well, though?
Oh, man, it was good. That ooey-gooey flavor. But I think that as adults, I think we can learn to make a slightly better grilled cheese. And I know, Wendy, that you said that you make a great grilled cheese.
I do, but I do it the traditional way. And I always loved grilled cheeses. And when I was little, I wanted to make my own grilled cheese sandwich. I asked my brother to help me. He was busy playing. So I did it myself, and I buttered the bread, and then I put the cheese on it, and I didn't know you put the butter side down on the skillet.
Ooh,
so
yeah,
I learned
yeah,
so the hard way.
Greasy, yeah.
But after that, it's like I make, you just golden brown, you got to cover them so the cheese melts in the middle, and Munster is a great grilled cheese.
Munster is a great melting cheese, and I think it's one of those first things that we all learn to cook. You know, it's that simplest thing that very often our parents allow us to do. But I think that, you know, we can move beyond that plastic wrap single and really create some other great things.
That's great that you mentioned that. And Wendy, have you let the kids like start to make their own grilled cheese? Because my kids are still, they're young. They're at still the toast level, and it's mm-hmm. still a little afraid.
Of course, Mine are just microwave level. Hot Pockets or Mom.
But that's neat that you branched out from the Munster into Munster from the Kraft single, because you know, you just think of kind of the regular yellow cheese or like a little
American
bit of Swiss
cheese. Yeah.
But as a guy who's, you know, cheese centric, like, do you guys do all sorts of exotic cheeses with
your I like to really play around with using a lot of different cheeses. And one nice thing about, being at Pastoral is we've got, you know, around 150, 160 different types of cheeses in the case. So not only do my partner and I like to play around with different types of melting cheeses, but our whole staff really gets into it. So they really geek out on figuring out what cheeses work and you know, go through a lot of, eat a lot of grilled cheeses or eat a lot of melting cheeses and find out what works and doesn't.
Tough gig.
It is a tough gig.
Sure.
You know, there's some failures, but, you know, failure is still tasty.
Yeah.
I am in love with brie cheese and fig preserves that
you can find.
So I would try that on a grilled cheese with fig preserves. Could you do that?
Yeah, I think you absolutely could do that. And you're going exactly in the direction that I would recommend on a grilled cheese is don't just stick with just a cheese and bread sample. Get something sweet in there, like you said, on that fig spread, or in the case of something I brought here today, I've got a shallot jam that sort of has a little bit of heat from the shallots and onions, but then also has a little bit of sweetness.
Because they were caramelized?
Because they were caramelized down, yeah. So you get a little sweetness, a little tanginess to cut through that rich fattiness that if you're going to go with something, a cheese that is a little bit more adventurous and stinky,
yeah.
then, you know, you need something to balance it.
Right.
Don't be afraid of stinky cheese.
No. Playoff beard bacteria, adventurous and stinky. It's,
right, it all ties in, doesn't it? What about a variance in the bread, too? You want to find some cheese that pairs well with the bread. It's that you're not just using, no offense to the Wonder Bread people, but you can go a little more exotic than that.
I think you got to step beyond the just that straight, plain white bread that we all grew up on.
Yeah.
I recommend like a sourdough bread.
Oh, delicious.
Would be
delicious.
Really good. I've got the some sourdough baguette here today. I think something with a nice crust on it.
Yeah.
So that you do get, you have something meaty to beat, to bite through.
Yeah.
I would also recommend even a whole grain bread. Something that, you
that's
know,
good.
Has some nuttiness to it. So mm-hmm. add in something that has whole grains or seeds into it. Add that in. Then you get add in like a fig jam that Wendy talked about, so that you get a layering of flavors. I think that's really the best thing here.
What about cheddar, bacon, and tomato? Does that count as a grilled cheese? No, I'm serious.
I don't have a grilled cheese without tomato in it, personally. I just always feel like, and that sort of is playing along the idea of the fig jam or what I said on the shallot confit, is that you do something that has a little bit of acid in it. I mean, so for me, you do the grilled cheese and tomato soup. What was better than that? So for me, yeah. I put the tomato in it and skip the soup.
Right.
Well, see, but that's good to know that there's not set rules and that you can kind of branch out beyond the cheese and it still maintains its legitimate grilled cheese status.
Absolute comfort food at its best. It's just, I think we, as your palate grows up, as you grow up, you can certainly be a little bit more adventurous. And I mentioned earlier, the stinky, don't be afraid of stinky cheeses
right.
and grilled cheese, because a lot of times the stinky ones are the ones that are the best melters too.
And then when you brought, of course, the butter, that's so essential and being able to get that crust on the outside. Is there any kind of alternatives that you guys use for the, you
know, I absolutely, there is an alternative that I recommend, and that's use mayonnaise. Skip
what?
The butter and use mayonnaise.
You shocked Wendy.
I know.
I hope you're happy,
Wait
Ken.
A
Wendy's shocked.
So mayonnaise is really just oil and egg yolk, right? So it's just fat. So it actually will brown up even better. So that golden toast that you were talking about.
You have
that
changed my life.
Breaking
put
ground.
Mayonnaise on there. You will be so happy with the way that is.
Look at the smile on your face.
I'm writing myself
I've
a
never,
note right
I've
now
never
because
seen this before.
I never would have cooked with mayonnaise.
Yeah.
You know, you want the
it really
oily.
It adds a richness and it toasts the bread so beautifully.
Yep. It's Bill and Wendy. Dane Neal is here from the Dane Neal Show over on WGN Plus and AccessAppetite.com. And then Ken Miller, the co-owner of Pastoral. We've not talked about wine pairings or chocolate milk pairings yet, so we'll get to those next. 312-981-7200 if you'd like to jump in. It's WGN.
Dane Neal is here, and you can find his podcasts on WGNplus.com and anywhere else your favorite podcasts are
Just
sold.
Just go to wherever your favorite is, and then we hope that we'll be found there. We've got Ken Miller in studio when it comes to all things cheese. The people, he and Greg over at Pastoral, do it and have been doing it right for such a very long time. And we think of cheese as just kind of these different avenues of general awesome. You know, everybody likes, I don't know if anybody
cheese
doesn't
is
like
the
cheese.
Best food ever invented.
Yeah, and it's so,
ever.
It's so different.
Amen.
It's so diverse. But I guess there is, number one, a day to appreciate the whole raw milk day. And then also a little bit of controversy, right, with this whole raw milk cheese situation.
Can I just say I don't know what raw milk is? I know unpasteurized, but I doesn't know what that means.
What does it mean?
And I was in a store and I wanted to get some cheeses and I saw a little sign on there that said raw, and so I wouldn't get them.
But good point, Bunny, and it's good that it isn't one of those WWF kind of raw like dairy sponsorship
Mm-mm.
events, right? It's so totally separate.
Not a John Cena production.
Thank God.
So real simple, raw milk is milk where the milk has not been pasteurized. So when we get a gallon of milk at the grocery store, that is pasteurized. That means it has been heated above a certain temperature so to kill off what's perceived as any bad pathogens. So generally, we do not drink in the U.S. any raw milk as a broad stroke, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You can, if you maybe live on the farm, you maybe drink a little milk directly out of the cow or the sheep or the goat, whatever you're milking.
Just
directly out of it?
Sometimes no. Or freshly, you know, freshly milked, you may drink it. And so when the milk has come directly from the animal, we call that raw milk. It's been not been cooked. So all the milk that we generally drink is pasteurized. When
because it lasts
cheese,
longer on
well,
a shelf?
Well, it helps
because
a little bit on longevity, but it also is believed to kill off any bad pathogens that might be in the milk. The problem is it also kills off what is believed to be very good pathogens, the flora. So there's a lot of different microbiology going on, microflora going on inside the milk.
I'm gut girl. I take probiotics.
Right. So when you talk about your probiotics, right? So there's good flora and there's bad flora,
right?
And so when you heat up the milk to a certain temperature, you're potentially killing off both. So exactly in that line there, when you are making pasteurized cheese, you can also be, not only could you be killing off the bad, but you could be killing off the good. And a lot of that good flora also develops a lot of the flavor profile of many cheeses. So that there are many traditional cheese making techniques where the cheeses were historically always made as raw milk. So a lot of your cheeses in Europe would be that way.
Ken, Louis Pasteur is on line three, furious at everything you've just said.
Exactly.
Not happy with you right now.
And I probably shouldn't say this, but the blue and blue cheese is something that is probably not that desirable for people. But I love blue cheese. I can't get enough of it. But part of what makes cheese flavorful is maybe sometimes that fermenting or something. Is that true?
And exactly. So the all those flavors that you're getting, be it in the blue cheese or on the rind of the cheese, that is all part of these beautiful micro colonies of bacteria that are on the cheeses.
Is there any danger, though, in eating the raw product? There could possibly be some danger.
There could be danger. It is certainly advised, women that are pregnant are always advised by their doctors to stay away from raw milk cheese.
Right.
But the other dangers of that could be coming from cheese, let's say, for instance, Listeria would be one of the big dangers. Listeria is not killed in the pasteurization process.
Right.
So that is, you know, something that isn't solved by that process. So that's sort of a different issue that where if you are buying cheeses from good cheese-making processors, as we try to do, as we always make sure we do, you're staying away from that issue. The main thing is, for women that are pregnant to stay away from, generally are advised to stay away from raw milk cheeses.
I think the thing to do, and Dana said this before, is check with any physician before ingesting any cheese. You always want to have a physician
sign
off.
And before you cut the cheese.
Yeah. It is ultimately a personal decision, but it's also something that is a long-time traditional production method that we have been eating raw milk cheeses for centuries. And remember, the pasteurization, Louis Pasteur, is a, I'll say a fairly modern in development.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a representation of a traditional cheesemaking process. And also here in the U.S., one thing that is a misconception is that raw milk cheeses are illegal in the U.S. And that
illegal?
Is not true. No. That is not true.
Wow.
Why would they put big signs saying raw cheese if they were illegal? You'd think they'd try and do it under the table.
Exactly. Black market raw milk cheese. Mm. No, U.S., we have to age our cheese. The cheese needs to be aged for at least 60 days before we can sell it if it's raw.
Oh.
The idea being that any bad pathogens that might exist in the cheese would have died off by that point.
One of the things that I wanted, and it's a luxury to have you here to answer, is the whole cave age cheese. Because caves, you think of them as kind of maybe cool, fun places.
Sure.
Where bats hang out. But you don't necessarily think of them as great, like, cheese locations. Now, are there modern day cave equivalents, or do we still have to go take our cheese to the cave if we want it aged properly?
There's a little bit of, you can have some of both of that. Sometimes, very often somebody will say, we age our cheeses in a cheese cove. They'll try to be really fancy.
Really?
They'll cove. They'll get very fancy on that. And there, if you go and inspect and see what they have, their cheese cove is really a walk-in cooler.
Vase in their cove.
There are truly cheese caves that are developed. Matter of fact, one of the cheeses we have here today, the Oma, is aged in caves up by Jasper Hill Cellars up in northern Vermont. And there are other cheeses, even like the Pleasant Ridge Reserve I have here today, that is done in a cheese cave that has a certain humidity and temperature environment to allow the bacteria to grow properly.
And that's a bat's milk cheese, I'm guessing, isn't it, primarily?
Bat's milk.
Is it? Good.
No. They don't have – well, I don't know. Maybe they do, but –
Truffle cheese is really good. I've had that. I love it.
Truffle cheese is fantastic.
Bill.
And I have one question, because we are slowly running out of time. When you get brie cheese or a soft cheese, what is the soft cheese you've brought today?
This is called Oma. It's a cow's milk cheese. It's washed rind from the Von Trapp family cream brie. From Sound of Music.
Wow.
No, I don't like that.
And the Oma, grandma in German, is for Oma Mary.
Really?
Yeah. So this is some
celebrity cheese.
This is celebrity cheese. Yeah, it's literally made of the Von Trapp family.
So can you eat the rind, I guess, of it? Like,
I just
on
had
brie
16
and
pieces going on 17.
But like, even with brie, and I noticed this Oma, there is a heel on it or whatever.
Right. The rind.
Can you eat that?
Absolutely. And what we always say at the store is, we'll tell you if something is not a natural rind. Maybe there, because some cheeses have like a waxy rind on them. So I wouldn't eat the wax. It's not going to hurt you. It's food safe.
But it doesn't taste good.
So if it doesn't taste good, you don't eat it. Only eat it if it tastes good. But otherwise, you need everything.
One of the really cool things is all the cheeses that Ken brought here today and that you guys are enjoying and that we're talking about are going to be available on the 30th over at Pastoral's event. And before you get out of here, like, let people know how they can experience all that is. And then some of the James Beard Award-winning chefs are going to be with you.
Exactly. So on April 30th, we're going to be hosting the Artisan Producer Festival over the Chicago French Market. We're going to have about 90-plus producers of all the cheeses and wines and beers, everything that we sell at Pastoral, as well as in the French, all the things that you can get of every day at the Chicago French Market. To highlight some of the items that we sell at Pastoral and at the French Market, we've got four James Beard Award-winning chefs who are going to be doing cooking demonstrations as part of our stage program.
And is it free? Is it open to the public?
Open to the public, free. It's we do ask for a $5 donation going to a couple of great local charities. One is Purple Asparagus, which helps educate local school children on food. But it's a great open to the public free tasting event from 11 to 3 on Saturday, April 30th.
And the website for Pastoral?
Is pastoralartisan.com.
If you're in a pinch and you need a quick grilled cheese, it does work to toast your bread, put some American cheese in between it, and microwave it for about 7 seconds so the cheese melts. That's a really quick, kids out the door, dying for something to
eat. Nice.
But you got to toast
the bread.
Can't
go wrong. That's the key, is toasting the bread.
They're looking at me in shock and disbelief. I'm just saying, sometimes you're in a hurry.
Yeah, that's the way to do it. Ken, great to meet you. It's Ken Miller from Pastoral. And, of course, Dane, his website is accessappetite.com. Thank you, guys. Appreciate you being here. Kim has the news next, and then more show coming your way. It's Bill F. and Wendy Snyder on WGN.